Welcome to Shi'ar Jashub. I'm Patty Scalzo, coming from Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. And today, we will continue a message in my husband's series from Acts chapter 26 on Paul's message to King Agrippa. When we left off, Pastor Greg Scalzo had just read from 1 Timothy chapter 1, where the apostle describes his condition prior to his salvation. Here's Pastor Greg.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, says Paul, the Pharisee, the rabbi. Poured out on Saul, mercy, sanctified, set apart by grace, by faith in Jesus Christ. And now he brings that message out to those in darkness, that they too may be saved. That's what I was, King Agrippa. That's what he tells him. This is what happened to me. And now this is what I became. Paul gives that testimony. And he says then in verse 19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Once you're called, once the Holy Spirit calls you, once Jesus Christ is revealed, we cannot be disobedient. We have to accept and receive this glorious gospel. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should what? What was the message? They should repent. Turn where? Turn to God. His way, God's road, faith in Jesus Christ. And what? And do works befitting repentance. I went all over preaching the gospel of Jesus. I told them, you have to turn. You have to turn from darkness to light. This is a problem in modern Christianity and modern evangelism. Many times, an evangelist will get up and give an altar call and say, you want to go to heaven, Jesus Christ loves you, come accept Jesus Christ. But we're not so keen in today's society of telling people we're sinners. We need to repent and turn around. If you don't know what you have to turn away from, how will you understand what you're turning to? If you don't understand what darkness is, how can you appreciate the light of Jesus Christ? Turn. Repent. Turn. Turn away from that. Turn to God by faith in Jesus Christ and do works befitting repentance. Literally in the Greek, and do or doing works worthy of this repentance. The NIV will say, prove their repentance by their deeds. Do works worthy of this repentance. And you see why this message is a great introduction to any study of the letters of Paul, the book of Romans. Paul clearly has portrayed that we are saved by faith. All that he did could not save him. And faith is not a frivolous faith. Faith is a sincere turning, a sincere repentance. You're turning to Jesus, he's the Lord, and you're turning from where we were at, the darkness we were in. And then those who do so should desire to do works worthy of repentance, if it's sincere. If you're really turning from the darkness into the light, you're going to say like Paul, what do you want me to do, Lord? It's a natural thing if it's a sincere faith. He's not, as some have said, giving the Gentiles license to sin by saying you're saved by faith. You're not saving yourself by your works, but what? Faith without works is dead. There is no contradiction between Paul and James. In the church history, you have those that are more Paulian and those who side with James and this conflict. Everything in right order and priority, the scriptures do not contradict themselves. You're only saved by faith. We would not be saved except by Jesus Christ. We cannot earn it. But if we love him, we should desire to let him work through us and do works worthy of repentance. Bear fruit, John said, in keeping with repentance. A true relationship with Jesus Christ is a desire to do what he wants us to do. Paul sees Jesus. Paul's a changed man. And then what does he say? I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Works follow naturally. I went, I preached, I gave the gospel to Damascus, Jerusalem, all the region, Judea, to the Gentiles. That sounds like a lot of work to me. Is Paul saved by that work? No, he's the first one to tell you not. He's not saved by that. He's a chief sinner. By the grace of God, he's saved. But he's in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And so it's a natural thing to bear works worthy of repentance. You're turning from darkness to light. He's not telling the Gentiles to stay in darkness. He's not giving them a license to sin. You're turning from Satan to the power of God. Paul, rather, is giving the Gentiles the full gospel, Jewish gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, for these reasons, he says, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. For these reasons, preaching Jesus only could be saved by that way. Preaching the resurrection. Preaching the truth of what he saw in Christ Jesus. He's resurrected. This one that was crucified. This one that the leader stood up and handed over to Pontius Pilate. I saw him. He's glorified. He's resurrected. And he also tells him that he was sent to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. If you remember back in chapter 22, verse 21, when he's on the step and he's preaching to the mob, when he gets to the point about the gospel going to the Gentiles, they're listening. They know about the miracles. They know what's going on in Jerusalem. So many people have been healed. So many things are happening. Could this be the Messiah? And Paul gets to the point that he says, I was sent to the Gentiles, and that's when they want to kill him again. How can you say that this holy thing, if what you're saying is true, Saul, that this is the holiness of God, this is the Messiah of God, how can he not just be meant for the Jew? You're telling us he's meant for the Gentile also? And at that point, they were enraged. They wanted to kill him. Right? For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, God is with Paul. God saves Paul. To this day, I stand witnessing both the small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. God has protected him. The plot to kill him has failed. Those was the 40 men that took the oath not to eat or drink till they killed him. God has preserved his life, and he's still witnessing. And he's not just witnessing to the great, to Agrippa, but he's witnessing to the small, the servant standing there, standing by to help Agrippa. The slave that might be in that room, he's witnessing to great and to small. This gospel is for all. The good news of God is for all. It's for the shepherds tending their flock by night. It's for the last king, Jewish king in Palestine. And the message, what is the message? He says, the message is no other thing than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. The Jewish prophets, a Jewish message. He's back again. The Jewish hope, the promise to our fathers. And Paul could easily tell them, he could go as a Jew, as a Pharisee, through every scripture, through Exodus, through the promise of the prophet in Deuteronomy, through the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel, and show them that they all point to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. He says, which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, Isaiah 53, Daniel chapter 9, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, the Psalms, Isaiah, and would proclaim light to the people, meaning the Jewish people, and to the Gentiles, Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 49, a light to the Gentiles. It's too small a thing to give just Israel, I will give you the nations. The whole Old Testament points that Christ would suffer. Christ would be the first, Christ Messiah. Christ, and a lot of Jewish people are Christ, they think Gentile. That all that is the Greek Christos, anointed. The concept of the anointed one is not a Greek concept. It's a Jewish concept, Messiah. Messiah would suffer, he would be the first to rise from the dead, and he would proclaim light to the Jew, the Jewish people, and to the Gentiles. And it's too much. As Paul is preaching, you can feel the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon him as he's preaching the gospel directly to them. Up to this point, he's telling them the gospel in what happened to him. And now he's taking it, and just as he preached to Damascus and Jerusalem and to the Gentiles, what is he doing? He's preaching directly to them, and it's too much for Festus. Probably Festus is a little convicted also. And what does he say? Now, as he thus made his defense, right in the middle it says, Festus said with a loud voice, he cuts him off, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. He can't take it. Notice the testimony to Paul's intelligence, to his great learning. He's still the Jewish scholar, right? But now he's a Jewish scholar for Christ. And he's more than competent to show and to go through with Agrippa the Old Testament books. Maybe he was about to do it. And Festus can't take it. Now we got Moses. Now we have the prophets. And on the surface, it looks like Festus is saying that all this knowledge you have, all this learning of the Hebrew scriptures, it's turning wheels in your head, Paul, literally. It's making you turning your head to madness. You know, even the Romans knew that Paul was not some rabble-rouser, some troublemaker, as the Jewish leaders were making him out. This is an educated, smart man. And there's something to what he's saying. He's not a troublemaker, and Festus can't tell. He doesn't want to hear it anymore. And all that he can argue with Paul is your great learning is making you mad. You notice Paul has applied the truth of who Jesus is beyond this controversy with the Jews. You know, this starts out to poor Festus as, you know, Jesus is alive, Jesus is dead. Paul says Judaism's one way, the Jews say another. But now we've gone beyond the Jewish argument that he doesn't understand. And if what Paul's saying is true, he saw a light that changed his life. He saw a glorified man who was crucified by Rome. And this is the only way of salvation onto eternity. And it's not just for the Jew, it's also for the Gentile. And he's a Gentile. And that means to Festus, Jesus has to be his Lord as well. I think as on the surface, he's getting annoyed. And enough, your great learning is driving you mad, Paul. I think Paul has hit a nerve with Festus that he knows inside there's something wrong with him. And if this is all true, then he would need to accept Jesus Christ as well. Verse 25, Paul's answer, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak the words of truth and reason. I'm not insane. Paul answers rationally.
On our website at shiarjeshub.org, you will find information about our church, a library of radio programs, links to our podcasts, and a link to our 10:30 a.m. Sunday live stream on YouTube. You can then watch these live streams 24/7 on YouTube, Rumble.com, or the website itself. And the website again is shiarjeshub.org.